Shit.
Oh my God, we're back. You know, that 2 minutes goes really quick if you're lolling around the kitchen getting coffee and other stuff. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It is the show. It's Q Talk America. We are in Studio C, as we do each and every Tuesday night, beginning of hour two, where we go right into our headline segment. Coming up a little bit later, don't forget hour three, which involves entertainment with Al Perkins and our two things. Also, we might not have thoughtful vulgarity on this week. You never know. By the way, programming note, we will not be having live shows the week of Christmas and the first week of the new year. We are taking a couple weeks off, so plan your vacations accordingly, but rest up, because we're going to come back in January. Not with anything new, just we'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back, so just know that that's coming. Anywho, it's headlines, Q Talk America. It goes something like this. A Texas woman is accused of sending homemade bombs to President Barack Obama, and Texas Governor Greg Abbott, prosecutors say, that those bombs could have maimed, excuse me, or killed both leaders. I think we all may remember that all happening some time ago. Court documents filed in district court in Houston last week show Julia Poff was indicted earlier this month on 6 counts for allegedly mailing bombs in October of 2016, including mailing injurious articles and transporting explosives with the intent to kill or injure. Now, Abbott opened the package, but the device did not explode, according to the indictment obtained by CBS affiliate KHOU out of Texas. Had it detonated, it could have caused severe burns and possibly death, the indictment says. Now, the package that was sent to Obama, however, was intercepted in the screening process that all mail, for those of you thinking of sending something now, it all gets intercepted way off of the White House campus, and they go through all the mail before it actually ever gets there. So don't even try to send shit. An obliterated shipping label on the package sent to Abbott led investigators to Poff's address in Sealy, Texas, and a cat hair found under the shipping label of the package sent to Obama matched one of her cats, the indictment says. The device contained
DNA'd a cat?
CSI is real.
Wow.
No shit. I mean,
that shit is real.
Yeah. So, excuse me, the cat hair. The device contained a cell phone, a cigarette package, and Ken's salad dressing cap, which were also linked to Poff, including by witness who said that she had brought the salad dressing from an anniversary dinner, according to the indictment. Very weird how all these people put all this shit together. Poff allegedly said that she didn't like Obama and was upset with Governor Abbott because, quote, she had not received support from her ex-husband. I don't know why the president and the governor of your state have anything to do with that. The indictment says, also, Poff is accused of mailing an explosive device to the Social Security Administration in Maryland and allegedly said that she had applied for Social Security benefits but did not receive them. Now, records show that the 46-year-old woman is being held at the Houston Federal Detention Center, and Poff's attorney named Ashley Caper declined to talk to the Associated Press on Friday. So I just thought that was kind of cool. Like that CSI shit is not mm-hmm. bullshit.
Yeah.
They looked with every bit of scrutiny upon all of those packages and said, well, what does this hair go to? Oh, yeah. Well, the first one, she had her address on it. Dumbass.
Yeah. I think that might have been the big
one. That was the big one.
And cat hair came 7:30.
The cat, you have a cat, ma'am? We'd like to get some hair.
That looks like a cat hair. Send it to the hot, nerdy girl in the lab.
Yeah. Yeah. Swab every one of your cats.
American short hair.
Exactly.
Is that a kind of cat?
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh. Speaking of kind of cats.
Oh.
We're back to the Segway game. Forgot. My bad.
If you are in Florida, you might know that Publix is a kind of grocery store.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Isn't that Publix? Is that right?
Yep. Okay. Publix, Publix.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
It's one of those employee-owned grocery chains.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a Winco or a... I think there's one back east called Redmond's. It's the same
Aldi,
kind of a thing.
I think it's similar to that.
Go ahead. Yeah. Mm. In any event, Florida has always been kind of love drunk over Publix. Like, people love Publix. And now it looks like they can be actually drunk while they're at it. That's right. Publix, in partnership with its delivery service Instacart, announced that it can now bring booze right to your doorstep within a matter of hours.
Welcome to Florida, people. We finally have a good story.
Good. It's good news out of Florida. Now, of course, you have to be over 21 and prove it upon delivery. So no funny stuff, you high schoolers. Publix delivery powered by Instacart now delivers from Publix Liquors. Just go online, make your selection, and we'll have your order to you usually on the same day, often in as little as an hour.
Nice.
It's faster service than some bars that I know.
Can't go wrong.
So your happy hour can begin, states their website. Now, don't get too excited because there's definitely a cost for this convenience. Instacart offers your first delivery free, just like a good drug dealer. That's how they get you.
You get a little taste.
And I got to tell you, a couple of Fry's stores locally, our local grocery store, they have started some very convenient services, including one where you just pull up to the curb and they load your groceries for you.
Uh-huh. Which I thought was just kind of lazy.
I'm hooked.
On whose part?
I
just wanted clarification.
Oh, you confused me, and so I just stalled for a second. But I did. Aaron and I both. But then I realized, for someone like Aaron, not lazy. I mean, doesn't make sense, because she has a list. She goes in. She gets exactly what's on her list. Rarely, if ever, does she something catch
like
her eye.
Impulse buy, right?
Yeah. Rarely, if ever. On the other hand, I could own Kroger.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Because like that, so that would be really smart for me.
See, I'm very listy, and I am in love with their pickup service because last night around like 11, I thought, oh shit, I have to fucking cook tomorrow. The kids are coming home. So I went and I made my list on the thing and I submitted it and I said, well, I want to pick it up at like 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So by like 10 o'clock this morning, I had got up, gone to the grocery store, gone to the bank, gone to the gym, had a shower, had some breakfast, all by 10 a.m. And I only got up at 7:30.
Right.
Like,
that's fair.
It squeezes an extra.
Yeah, you just slow down the car to like 5 miles an hour and
then just fling your groceries in. It's wonderful.
So I think what I need based on this story is I don't need to join like Blue Apron or one of those things. I just need someone to send me a list of like 4 recipes I need to make that week to eat. Like, just so I'll eat something different, because if I stay at home, I just eat the same like 4 things constantly.
Right.
Or this week, turkey. but I did make a frittata, because I can cook.
Right.
But I just need someone to like give me the idea of
push, because otherwise I make a pot roast every Wednesday, because guess what? I just fling it in the crock pot and I walk away from
it. Right. You end up in a food rut. So I think if someone gave you a list like that, and then you could even make it easier, then you would cook and maybe eat a little bit better, make better choices for the adventure of it. So, I mean, that could be a great 1-2 punch of motivation. Because when I get off work, I'm too tired. I go to the grocery store at 7:30 a.m. right after work. And I walk through there like the zombie apocalypse, and I'm like, Triscuits.
Well, find your click list,
carrots,
store, because you can make your list before work the night before.
Yeah.
And pick it up on your way home.
When I'm turkey and
and ready
good,
to cook
feeling
and feeling great. And if you're in Florida, they'll deliver it to your house, apparently, for a cost of $6 per, plus you have to tip the driver. And they'll bring you the booze straight to your house.
And now we have just Amazon.
Which is the moral of this actual story.
Well, we have,
with Whole Paycheck. They mixed Amazon and Whole Paycheck just got together. So you could do it through there. Like, you don't have to live in Florida. We can.
For those of you who don't understand what he's talking about, Whole Foods, he's referring to as Whole Paycheck. Because literally, if you go in there, I mean, it's $1 million store. You walk out and you've spent everything on 4 tomatoes.
Sharon walked in there just this week and she just wanted some bullshit cauliflower rice something. I don't know. She's on like a no carbs thing right now. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
What do you
and
eat?
And why this
cauliflower
week?
Like,
what
really
do you eat?
This time of year is a bad time for that.
I don't.
If it's not on a tortilla, it's not even food.
Right. No, it's actually doctor ordered. It's a thing. And I actually do understand it. But in any event, she walks into a Whole Food for like some cauliflower rice thing that I don't even understand, and walks out like $100 later with one bag.
Wow!
What the fuck? Did
it's
buy?
Like Target.
What happened?
I don't know.
Was there a cauliflower farmer in the bag? Like, did she own a deed to land now that she just?
I don't know if she invested. I don't know if she just dropped money throughout the store. Like, were there strippers in there? I do not.
I have questions.
If there's a stripper at Whole Foods, they're building that new one right close.
I was not about to ask any questions.
That's
very expensive.
Funny stuff.
It's possible. It's very possible.
And thus concludes anecdotes about grocery shopping.
Yeah, there we go.
Very nice. I am trying to send something to Clayton.
Next caller.
Weird. You want me to go real quick?
Will
you
do that? Yes, please.
So, robots. 375 million jobs may be automated by 2030, a study suggests. The McKinsey Global Institute cautions that as many as 375 million workers will need to switch. It's like the entire population of the U.S. will need to switch occupational categories by 2030 due to automation. What, are they going to all become coal miners?
We love coal.
The work most at risk of automation includes physical jobs in predictable environments such as operating machinery or preparing fast food. Data collection and processing is also in the crosshairs, with implications for mortgage origination, paralegals, accountants, and back office processing, or processing, depending on where you're listening from. To remain viable, workers must embrace retraining in different fields, but governments and companies will need to help smooth what could be a rocky transition. The model where people go to school for the first 20 years of life and work for the next 40 or 50 years is broken. Co-author of this report says, we're going to have to think about learning and training throughout the course of your career. The authors believe we may have a massive transition on a scale not seen since the early 1900s, when workers shifted from farms to factories. The report also cited that potential need for an effort on the same scale as the Marshall Plan, when the United States spent billions to rebuild Western Europe after World War II. Such a plan would include a big investment from the private and public sectors in new training programs and workforce transitions. And it's one of the things that we really should be doing here is fixing our roads and bridges, because we put so many people to work locally where the money would go right back into their local economy.
Yeah.
Because you would go right to your Publix and put the food in and buy your groceries if you had the had the money.
Or buy a cauliflower farm or whatever you're doing.
For some reason, everybody runs on the infrastructure. And I'm sure it's the same in other countries where they talk about doing this. And then it seems to be the one thing that
we never do.
No one ever gets to.
No one ever does.
Like, you seem to have all been talking about pro this, pro that. Mm. But then when it comes time, you go right for the stuff that divides us instead of, why not just spend some money and fix some badly needed bridges badly in need of repair. So it's very strange to me. And then to see this, what a 375 million jobs.
Sure.
Slightly higher than the population of the U.S. Is that what you were Googling?
Oh, no, yes, I was going to. But then I was screaming about Alexa in the chat room.
Are we still having Alexa issues from people?
Get that bitch out of your house. She's stealing your soul and your identity.
No shit. Is that really what they're talking about?
Well, that's
there's something in there.
But okay. Wow.
Just a fascinating study.
You know, one of the things that I know in regards to infrastructure, we suffer through it a little bit here in Phoenix because it fortunately, I think because Phoenix doesn't have a lot of bridges, we don't have to deal with that a lot, but at least with our roadways, and Phoenix is really a younger city. In larger cities like your LAs or older cities like your LAs or your New Yorks or Boston, Philly, they're much older cities. So obviously they've got stuff that was built a hell of a lot longer ago than Phoenix. I mean, we were made a state in 1912. So we're a lot newer.
Yeah.
So we don't have as much to go wrong. But I do know that for at least from what I see, it doesn't go wrong here in the city or surrounding areas where a pothole or a road doesn't get fixed relatively quickly.
Right, but we also don't, I mean, we don't have the same, the 10 is a nightmare.
Like, no, 10 is a nightmare. But right now, we're suffering through all of what they're doing right now at that interchange. And it's just been gross. Since I moved here, and the whole time you've lived here, I'm sure, you and you, Marnie. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, all of us. The whole time we've lived here, it's just been continual construction because we've grown so fast.
Oh, yeah.
So right now, we're suffering through this interchange at 59th Avenue and I-10 for all that shit to get done. But in bigger cities, I cannot imagine when you cut off an artery, like having to do a bridge work or some of the things, I can't imagine what they have to fucking go through because it disrupts everything.
Well, like the 10 didn't go through. When I moved here, the 10,
right.
This was the section of the 10 that kept it from being a complete
cross-country
highway was because it wasn't finished. And like there was no such thing as the 51. The Squaw right. Peak Parkway was just from Indian School to Thomas. It went one street. Wow. It was a shortcut from Thomas to Indian School.
It's very convenient. Very convenient.
Yeah. And right. They just went north and south of it and connected it to ship, but it was nothing. And there was no bridge over
Troubled Waters.
Yes. Simon and Garfunkel were absent.
What was Simon not Garfunkel? Wildly successful?
Yeah, the Priest Road Bridge. That didn't exist. There was no bridge. It went through the river bottom and it flooded out every year during monsoon season. And then in the winter during the rainy season, you couldn't get to Tempe. Like, you had to go all the way around. And they finally built a bridge. Like, I have a picture of me standing in the riverbed where Tempe Town Lake and the pedestrian bridge. Picture. But, you know, I mean, it's just so funny to see that there's just nothing there. Like, and you can see from there all the way to Camelback from ground level. Because there's nothing in between Tempe, or not Tempe Town Lake, but the Salt River Bottom.
Sure.
And Camelback Mountain. There's nothing. There's just nothing. It's kind of weird because it feels like this old-timey picture was taken in 1815. No, it was taken in 1985. Like, it's just nuts.
Just because you had hair in the picture doesn't make it an old picture.
No. But it's like one of those things where you're trying to show someone the development of a city, and you'd think you were watching, like, the historic channel, but it's like, this is the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not... We don't have to go to black and white.
Sepia.
Right. We don't need sepia tones. So there you go. Anyways, onwards.
Marnie.
Well, were you able to do anything with
I have a picture. Ooh, we can't play the video.
Oh, we can't. Okay. No. Okay.
They nailed us for the Adobe card.
Right, that's right.
I can't. I'm not risking an SNL video again.
Fair point.
I'm ready for your picture.
Dictionary.com has...
It's a website I read often.
They have trolled Ivanka Trump so hard with its word of the year. And the word of the year is complicit.
I just said that in the chat room. Isn't that
complicit.
Funny?
Complicit. I love it. I did not see that. I don't know if you guys remember when SNL did the perfume ad.
Mm-hmm.
Complicit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? So that, since then, and then Ivanka, of course, came out saying, I don't know what that word means. What does complicit mean?
Yeah, but she runs half our government.
Right.
That's good.
So, Merriam-Webster has firmly cemented itself as the woke dictionary in recent years. The online dictionary seizes every possible opportunity to troll the Trump family, whether it is a comment on a typo Donald Trump made or just a general comment on his stupidity. But after a year of being the runner-up to Merriam-Webster, Dictionary.com is finally getting in on the fun. Dictionary.com just announced its word of the year for 2017, and it is complicit. We're excited to announce that the word of the year is covfefe. Just kidding, but it is complicit, and so it was just fantastic. If you need a refresher, the word complicit rose to popularity, as I had said with the Saturday Night Live sketch. And then with
this one, complicit. Right. I feel like it'd be you doing the obsession.
Yeah, exactly. So it was defined, complicit means choosing to be involved in an illegal or questionable act, especially with others, having partnership or involvement in wrongdoing. But as Ivanka Trump revealed a few weeks after the viral SNL sketch aired, she didn't even know what the word meant. So we have promptly the definition of that that word was shared. In a blog post on dictionary.com, the online dictionary described the logic behind its 2017 word of the year, explaining the time searches for complicit surged on its website and pointing out when complicity reigned in 2017. For example, the post points out how the powerful men who were accused of sexual assault could not have kept the secret without complicit associates. Lookups for the word complicit increased by nearly 300%.
Wow.
In searches in 2017 as compared to 2016. So that is why it is the word of the year.
I wonder how the words like accomplice, how long have they gone up? Accomplice,
pussy,
conspirator,
yeah, right.
Things like that. Those are probably also going up.
Collusion.
That's
a big one. So that's I'm surprised one. Collusion wasn't
I was
word
just
of
thinking
year.
Of other words that would dance around that.
Sure.
Yeah, because you're right. We're getting collusion thrown down our throats right and left. Absolutely.
Unprecedented also could have been a...
Oh, I found another.
Well, and we'll see what the Merriam-Webster word of the year is. We don't know that yet.
Not,
that hasn't been announced.
Similar to your story, only because it's a word of the year. Mm-hmm. So there was the big hullabaloo of late with regards to Time Magazine and who's going to be the person of the year. They actually, on their Twitter today, released, I guess, I don't know if they actually do a... an annual survey, or if it's just because they've just assimilating data of emails or whatever they're receiving. They did an entire poll of who all has been nominated, from the public for this. And it's really interesting that I can't think of his name. He's the new Prince Sheikh Shalom Malaralo Ding Dong, whatever he is.
That went well.
It was part of that.
He didn't offend anyone.
It was part of the coup where they put a bunch of people in prison. And now he's 32, and now he's the prince or the ruler of whatever. I'm terrible
Stand
with this
by.
Stuff. But anyway, he's at 23%, and every single other person is all the way down the line in single digits, like the Taylor Swifts and the... The only person who wasn't on the list that I really thought would be Mueller. I thought he would be, but he wasn't. Trump is down at like 2%.
Yeah, he's really low. I just love the fact that he was. Oh, please, thank you.
So anyway, it was interesting.
Thank you, sir. I just love that Trump is like, you know. Well, I said no.
If you heard a cork pop just a second ago, it's because Al Perkins has popped a cork of champagne in a celebratory manner here in Studio C because it is.
Yeah.
Margarine's birthday as of yesterday, correct?
Yes, correct.
You've joined my ranks of 48 years old.
I did.
How's it feel so far?
Oh,
no. Gosh, I hope I never get that old.
There's a drug for that.
I know, right? It's been lovely.
Yes,
it's
good.
Been lovely, yes.
Did you and Aaron do anything special on your day?
Well, after I took a nap and they pureed my food,
A normal day.
That accelerated quickly.
48. We went to do our typical gym stuff, and they did some nice stuff there for me.
Cute.
It was very nice.
And, beat you up extra that day?
A little bit, exactly, yes. Move it, you old fat ass, that kind of thing. That was nice. And
traditional greeting.
Traditional, right. And then we went to LGO, as a matter of fact.
That's where you found the book.
That's where I found the book, right.
Well, happy birthday, Ms. Ryer.
Well, thank you.
Happy birthday, darling.
Gosh. Thank you. Tinka-linka-dink. All that other happy stuff.
Happy days are here again.
You were determined to open that champagne before the end of the year.
Fuck yeah.
Well, thank you.
So someone just asked about the drinking word. I'm like, we haven't done that once. We haven't really been drinking.
Well, and our format changed a little bit, so it's not
a toast to the groom.
Fall. Yeah, to the groom.
By the way, speaking of groom, I found another outfit Al could wear at some point. There we go. And that one.
And oh, wow.
That's the derby, isn't it?
Yes, that's from the derby.
The crown prince of Saudi Arabia.
That's the one.
Yeah. Wait, are we doing outfits for the Olympics?
No.
I'm not opposed to it.
Our black V-neck partner?
V-neck tent nonning. How can I help you?
V-neck
tent.
Right. There's that.
Thanks, Annette. Oh. Thanks,
don't
guys.
Think I can't fancy up some plaid.
Exactly. I can't tape a flower to this dome.
That's right.
I don't have the cabinet space.
I'm going to get a John Deere hat. We're gonna dress that shit up.
I never thought I'd hear that.
I could be figure skater fancy. I'm not afraid.
I never thought I'd hear that phrase ever from anybody. I can fancy up some flannel. Is that what that was?
I think they say that every
Saturday.
I'm going
to go jacket shopping immediately.
Yeah, totally.
I need a pashmina.
It's all about family and jackets.
Jackets.
Exactly.
Jackets.
Well, something that families don't often get into is doing vile things to children. Well, a Catholic school in Australia.
That took a turn. Yeah.
Well, it's a terrible segue, but I got there. Fuck you. A Catholic school in Australia has covered up a statue of a saint giving a loaf of bread to a boy after complaints it was a little too suggestive. Let's cut to picture of statue with boy. There we go. A statue of St. Martin de Porres at Blackfriars Priory School in suburban Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide.
Shows the bread being held at crotch level as the smiling boy gazes up with a hand reaching for the loaf.
Now, oh, you didn't see it?
If you can't see it, how about that?
I saw it. It was like
please
when you see the picture of Jesus and you can't spot the Jesus.
Yeah.
Like suddenly I saw
what's
the
happening
Jesus.
Here?
That's what they were talking about when they said 40 years for a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Principal Simon Kobiak said in an apology posted on Facebook, quote, "The two-dimensional concept plans for the statue were viewed and approved by the executive team in May, but upon arrival, the three-dimensional statue was deemed by the executive to be potentially suggestive."
But I'd like to congratulate him on his girth.
Now, the statue was made in Vietnam, but a local sculptor has been hired to redesign it. Now, photos posted online show the statue first covered in a dark shroud, then they later placed a black fence around it. Now, this is what made
me... Take my picture by his penis.
This is what made me laugh. This is what made me laugh earlier before the show. It's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. A local artist named Driller Jet Armstrong told 7 News... Driller Jet. He says, I love it.
Is that hyphenated?
No.
Traditional spelling. It's
all one word. Just, oh,
DJA. Right. DJ Armstrong. Driller Jet. Same's got that. I'm just trying to say... But my here's what made me laugh about it. Driller Jet Armstrong told 7 News, "It's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. I love it. I love an art scandal."
Yeah.
It should be noted that Driller Jet was not involved in the design of the statue.
As long as we're talking about an art scandal.
Let's never
forget Cecilia Jimenez, Alpha Dog of the Week.
That
the one that took the fresco of Jesus and made it way worse.
Right. That, exactly.
Stephen Colbert, Cecilia Jimenez, just watch that video and enjoy the next 5 minutes of your life. It's fucking hysterical.
It really was funny.
My gosh.
Would you like another loaf of bread, sir?
Please, sir. May I have some more?
No. No. Speaking of no.
No.
No rhymes with go, and for a brief shining period last summer, Pokemon Go reigned supreme.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It brought obsession, joy, and
obsession.
And according to one newspaper, injury and death.
Oh.
Whoa.
That's right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, there are people walking into shit all over the place.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. Valid point.
Appropriately titled, Death by Pokemon Go. The research shows the darker side of the massively popular augmented reality game. Economists from Purdue University combed through accident reports from just Tippecanoe County in Indiana. In the first 148 days after the game was released in July 2016, in that county alone, the total value from injuries, damage, and the 2 lives lost is between $5.2 million and $25.5 million. If you scale this to cover the entire United States, it would suggest that $2 billion to $7 billion in damages and life lost occurred in just those few months.
But you get points for it.
Right.
You get right, exactly. Yeah.
Reports show that during those 148 days, 286 additional crashes occurred in that county compared to the same period the year before. Of these, 134 were near Pokestops.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That sounds like a porn name right there.
Pokestop.
Yeah.
What position do you want? I want the Pokestop.
I want the full Pokestop.
Yeah. So just, you know, file this under, we thought we didn't have to tell you.
Right. But you know you did. I mean, Doug did the story last week about
the
country. That's why I'm refreshing
you. Oh, thank you. It's a recap.
That's why I'm recapping for you.
Do you want your story or not, sir?
The countries that banned walking while texting.
Right.
Because people were walking into traffic. And one country, I can't remember what the country was, actually is putting up padding. Like, putting padding
like
up
Japan
on the sides
or...
to keep people from, like, walking into shit. So, like, I was saying put them in a sumo wrestler, but it's the same thing with that Pokemon Go.
I say survival of the fittest.
It really is a healthy thinning of the herd.
Oh, it is. We don't need them.
And think of it. You probably get awarded, like, 500,000 Pokemon points posthumously.
Tippecanoe and
Tyler
too.
Yeah.
I have seen. I know that you sit lower in your car and you sit lower, but you sit up higher.
I sit straight the fuck up. Yeah.
Like I do. Like you sit up in traffic where you can see into other vehicles much easier. It really is astounding how many people I see doing this. They're not even looking through it. They're texting and driving. And I watched one woman. I mean, in addition to makeup or eating or whatever the hell else they're doing, it really is terrifying to see how many people drive and text and pay little to no attention to what they're driving.
Yeah.
I saw a woman last week. I think Doug and I talked about it before we came on the air, that there was a woman sitting at a left turn lane texting with her kid in the seat next to, with a small child. And she's just sitting there not looking up. And she was one of those ones that was going to run the yellow to make the left-hand turn. You know what I mean? Like it was going to be a death race,
a scooting,
2000.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm sitting there, like, in traffic looking at her.
Right.
Like, you're going to die, lady. But unfortunately, because she was...
She won't die. She'll kill other people.
No, the kid in the car was going to get it because she was going to get T-boned from the passenger side as she made the left turn. Mm-hmm. If you can visualize that in your head, people that drive on the right.
It just is astounding that how many people do that. And I'm not saying I've never done it. I don't want to be a hypocrite about this. I've texted and driven before, too. But I keep that phone in a mount over here. I don't have it in my hand. My hands are on the wheel, or at least on the window control. So, but it's crazy.
One hanging
to see
out the window, one on the radio,
and you watch
and
them.
And
you
I'll
watch
seriously,
them. You watch them drive. Like, yeah. She'll be ahead of me in whatever car, and they're all over the fucking place. It literally is like they're wasted.
And I have to say, I know how bad I am at texting, and I'll start a text and be like, oh, I'm seriously, this is not going well.
Right.
But I will search for a song and not talk myself out of it. Like, I will be like, you know, instead, because Siri is unreliable at best. So we can't.
Oh, I talk to text all the time.
Talk to text. Yeah, but like I said, I don't text, but I do start searching for songs, and I won't stop myself from doing that. With the text, I'm like, oh, I don't care. I'll just text them when I get there. Like that, I can easily.
But I need to hear Bad Girls now.
Right? Yeah. See. Right.
MacArthur Park Suite. Well,
so we all have our picadillos. Is that the word? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Does anybody know about this Apple thing? Which is not my story, but
which Apple thing?
Oh, the Apple root login thing.
I'm fairly anti.
What?
It says it just works with no password. Apparently on Mac, you can log into Mac OS. Hi, Sierra. As root with no password. Keep in mind, I don't know what that means, but I have Mac OS.
Tell me those things again and let me look.
It's like a big deal. Like apparently. Anyone can hack Mac OS. Hi, Sierra, just by typing the word root.
Okay. Carry on. I'll find out for you.
Thanks, because I might vomit.
Okay. Don't puke.
Okay.
Apparently, we're now a computer repair show.
Oh, yeah. Right. Thank you. Because all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, I don't need any more trouble with
I think
my...
that's probably spam or bullshit that came up.
No. This is... I saw it earlier.
No, it's from Wired.com.
Whatever you
so
do, don't
legit.
Click on it.
Carry on. Next caller.
We'll get you.
So, when I had said about the 10 little Indians...
Mm-hmm.
One little, two little.
Perhaps people thought that I would only be talking about how Dickhead decided he would call Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas.
At the most inappropriate minute.
If there is a good minute.
If there's an appropriate one to be found, yeah. Right.
But this couldn't have been more. And he just looked like a fucking idiot. More so than normal, I think. But a Lakota Sioux reporter just gave the best response to Trump's Native American slur.
Oh, I wish I could find the screenshots, because that was... It is good.
Earlier this afternoon, yesterday afternoon, whatever, President Trump horrified the nation when he decided to use a racial slur offensive to Native Americans to denigrate a sitting United States senator while ostensibly honoring veteran Navajo code talkers who served our nation in World War II. We have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas, but you know what? I like you. What the fuck does that have to do with the price of tea in China? The way he... What is he talking about?
Right.
You know?
And do we ever know?
Never. Never. Said the racist reality television star. Well, well aware of what he was doing and what kind of response he would inspire in his white supremacist fans. Respected journalist Ruth Hopkins of Indian Country Today and The Last Real Indians, well known for her outstanding coverage of the Dakota Access Pipeline protests, took to Twitter to set the record straight. Ruth H. Hopkins says Pocahontas was a preteen who was kidnapped, held hostage, and raped by European invaders. Stop using her name as a racial slur, and how dare you insult these brave Native men who risked their lives for this country. And then she says, not to mention, these men are Navajo, and Pocahontas was from the... I'm going to screw this up, so forgive me. Pamunkey tribe? Pamunkey tribe?
Yeah.
It's Pamunkey tribe. Two entirely different Native nations. She goes on to say, by the way, Trump is insulting these Native veterans in front of a portrait of Andrew Jackson.
Jackson, that's the part.
Yeah. Who was responsible for the deaths of thousands of Natives by way of the Indian Removal Act and the Trail of Tears.
Perhaps you've heard of the Trail of Tears.
Uh-huh. He and his men made horse reins from Native skin. The crimes of past Americans against the Native inhabitants of this land can never be forgiven or atoned for. The absolute minimum that Trump could do is accord the Navajo code talkers with the same respect that he does to white veterans. But the watching eyes of genocidal monster Andrew Jackson tells you everything you need to know about how Donald Trump feels about America's persecuted minorities.
Yeah. And I thought really that really was. Said it all. To have that done under Andrew Jackson's
You know, but at that same...
Bloody Andrew Jackson.
At that same press event, one of the surviving Navajo code talkers, like, made a very, very nice speech about...
Wonderful speech.
Yeah, about how, like, diversity is really our strength and this whole thing. Because, you know, for people that don't know, during World War II, right?
Yeah.
During World War II... our secret codes and our like radio transmissions were being deciphered like left and right, like they were figuring our shit out all over the place. So somebody got the genius idea to get some folks from the Navajo Nation to come and speak Navajo, because literally no one can decipher that.
Only the Navajos.
Right.
And it doesn't have origins in Europe that they could decipher, so it had no the lack of origin.
So that's really marked as one of the like turning points in that war, was the fact that we got our strategies on lockdown and you know, locked all the spies out, and so they're really like heroes of that war.
Huge. Yeah, very much.
And so he made like a very nice speech about how, you know what I mean, having diversity and having all of these different people in our country like became a strength, and about how, you know, when our way of life is attacked, we all come together. And it was a very nice speech.
Yeah, with that dumbass
standing in front of dipshit, just blink, blink, blink.
Yeah, and then of all the and that was one of those telling things. Like when the administration started, and he chose as his hero Andrew Jackson, and keeps referring to him as someone who could have stopped the Civil War, and all this shit. And you're like, what the fuck? Did you go into the like white survivalist guide to find,
only the
besides
best
Woodrow Wilson, like, who was the most offensive human to hold the office besides outright racist Woodrow Wilson? Right. Him. Like, well, you found him. Well done. Job well done.
I don't know if anybody else saw...
And I don't mean to see language... Sorry, a language of no origin, but a language with an origin outside of the European base. It didn't come from the usual strategy.
Hi, Harry.
Forms, roads, whatever the word I'm looking for is.
It was just from North America.
Like, because all the Romance languages are Latin-based, so you can get your way there.
Yeah.
Well, and the interesting piece was that they were trying to say that this was actually the first the first language of America.
Oh, of course,
I mean, so the fact that it was some foreign language, actually...
That's really American.
That's a very
American language. That's the best way to say it. Good way to say it.
I don't know if anybody else saw the news footage, and I think it was Ari Melber yesterday, MSNBC, that showed it, which was perfectly timed. Sometime back, I think this would have been in the early 90s, maybe late 80s, when 45, who at the time was just a private citizen, corrupting
still
things
racist,
and doing
though.
Shit. When he had to go, if I'm not mistaken, it was a Senate hearing. He was at testifying because he was trying to do something with some casino land or something in northern New York. And in part of the testimony, they were asking him who these people were. And he kept saying, well, they're Indians. They look like Indians to me. They all looked like Indians to me. And like, he went through this thing, and the senators were like, I cannot believe you just said that. Like, really? They all, it's like looking at Korean, Vietnamese, Japanese, and be like, well, they're all Oriental. Or whatever it is. Like, well, they're not a rug, and they're not all Indians. But they went right to that footage of him, where again, the contrast being, he's talking to Native Americans, and he only knows of Pocahontas, who apparently was some sort of a Native American from somewhere, so he just groups them all together. And that's what he was doing in that footage from, again, like 25 years ago. I just thought it was an interesting contrast. It's the same then as now. Like, the zebra has not changed its stripes at all. In fact, they've gotten more prominent.
It got kind of amazing all over the country, where after the Trail of Tears and the moving people off of their lands, that all of a sudden when tribal casinos became a thing and cities wanted them closer to their city center, all of a sudden, this is Indian land.
Oh,
again.
We're everywhere. They're everywhere. All around the Valley of a Sudden.
So, like, Niagara Falls, like, half a mile, it's the old convention center, it's where I graduated high school, is now a casino, because suddenly...
How convenient.
That's Native American territory, and a casino can go here. Funny that you didn't mention that before. So there was a lot of that, especially in New York State. Like, here, the casinos are kind of, like, in the outskirts.
They're around the valley. Yeah. But
in Niagara Falls, it's the old convention center is now a casino, and... Sacred land.
Well, for here in downtown Phoenix, it's been confusing. When I moved here, they had just built the America West Arena, which is where the Phoenix Suns played. Yeah. It's also got an ice rink in the bottom of it and all this other stuff. Over the years, it changed, and it was U.S. Airways Arena when U.S. Airways bought America West, blah, blah, blah. Well, now, again, just naming rights, it's now called the Talking Stick Casino Arena, and it confuses the shit out of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they think it's a casino downtown.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
And they just know it's called it's the name the Talking Stick.
And there's also Talking Stick Resort and Casino.
And I always think events are happening at the casino.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to make sure where you're looking. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Just, that's odd. Justin Timberlake's playing the casino. Gosh, he's really fallen.
Eventually, he'll get there.
Amina, it's a rug.
Yeah. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Lovely. Usually round. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also just a blanket term that Americans have used for generations to refer to anyone from anywhere in Asia.
Well, I mean, because like Murder on the Orient Express, that the Orient was the Far East. It's just an archaic term. So that's all you're getting out of that is.
But do they? But
the Orient.
Now
that's where they were all headed.
Is that still a fair term to use for that region? Is the Orient? Not at all.
No.
That is an archaic word.
Yeah,
why I say it's a rug. That's what I think Oriental.
I'm not trying to be derogatory or anything. I'm just asking. An area, is it still called the Orient?
No.
At all?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Is it just Asia?
Yeah.
Or like the subcontinent. India would be.
Okay.
Right. India, China.
Got it. Yeah.
I don't use it a lot. I just thought I'd ask.
But the Orient Express was because it landed in Istanbul, which is the only city that's in two continents. It's half in Europe and it's half in Asia.
I thought Berlin was that's two continents. My bad.
Yeah. So that was the big thing, was it was the gateway to the Orient. That's what they would call it. Like, and it was always the spice route, the Oriental Trail. Like, it was ways to describe like shipping and stuff like that just kind of stayed and then became derogatory. Started off all very friendly and then just took on an ugly tone.
Amina, I want to hark back to a comment you made just a few minutes ago. It's interesting that you learned about Navajo code talkers in primary school, though you were in advanced placement, and that's all fine. I didn't learn anything about them at all until into my adulthood and way out of school.
Well, due to the age difference, that's probably about the same time that the Wind Talkers were becoming known to all of us. Like, when the movie was coming out and we were learning about the code talkers, is probably when he was in that grade.
The greater point I'm making here is, in America, in American history, it's so whitewashed. And at least it was when I was in school. I don't know exactly what it is now because I haven't cracked a history book in forever.
Well, like Hidden Figures, those things.
Yeah, Hidden Figures.
If it wasn't about white guys,
prime example.
They just turned around and erased it right after it happened.
Yeah. I mean, they talked about plantation owners, but why are they plantation owners? Well, they killed people or they just bought people to work. They didn't tell anything about that.
Right.
So there's a lot of American history that you don't get in American history class, or at least we didn't at the time.
And they turn around and just erase it. Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that, and I was in advanced placement too. Never heard anything about code talkers.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, until the movie came out, and then it was like, oh yeah, and then the books were written, like, you know, that kind of stuff.
And Hidden Figures is a great to go along with your book. It's a great inspirational story, regardless men or women. It's when you realize somebody. I mean, it's always woman triumphant, but overall.
Yeah, and the whole thing about going to school for the STEM programs and stuff like that. And yes, the Orient Express is still running. It's abbreviated now. I don't think it does the whole
OX
route that it used to. I don't think but the Orient Express that's now famous in the movie.
Where the murder happened.
Yeah. Is now still running. It does still run, but it doesn't. You can't do whatever the whole route was from, I think it was Paris to Istanbul.
All right.
I think it was Paris to Istanbul. But it is still running because there's people that want to do it.
Was it Istanbul and not Constantinople?
Because it's Istanbul and Constantinople.
Where were we?
So you can't go back to Constantinople anymore.
Were we on Marnie's story? Whose story were we?
Oh, yeah, because now it's you because we skipped her to go to me to go back to her to go to you now.
Well, I did my second story.
Well, I have an Apple update.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we went all the way around twice.
Yeah, based on time, we're at the end of it.
Okay, so here's what's happened.
This is our tech update from Kat Carlson.
Tech update. From somebody who doesn't use Macs. So in the latest operating system upgrade, a lot of times when you upgrade, there are bugs and glitches and stuff. But this one is possibly the dumbest. So a couple of things. When they say root... when you're talking about computer software, that is like master base access.
Okay. Careful how you say that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Not masturbator access, yeah. But
you're
like,
masturbating.
You have administrative privileges even on a machine that you don't own. Okay. So in this, wherever you get to a login screen, instead of like just putting in your login or whatever, you can type the word root and no password and hit enter, and it will let you into all of the administrative system settings. And will let you set up that access so that you could then come back later and do whatever nastiness that you want. A lot of malware kind of tries and looks for those kind of
gates
to exploit. Okay. Ways around it for now until they send you a patch is you could do that and then set up an actual password on that root user account. So you could force it to root and we can look at it. But you can force your way in that way and then set up an actual password so that should someone try and exploit that on your physical machine, they would then have to have a password.
Okay.
And then Apple will send an update probably pretty soon because that's a pretty big bug.
Yeah.
So they'll probably send a temporary patch and then a bigger update will come later down the line after they fire a few people. But that's the gist of it.
After they fire Tim Cook.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, whoever left that back door open.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not the end of the world. The biggest danger appears to be with like physical access.
Yeah, they were just saying in the chat room that you can't get to it remotely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So someone would have to actually have.
That's why they were saying don't take your eye off your computer.
Yeah, because someone would have to actually, like, sit in front of your computer.
Lay hands on it. Right. To do it.
Got it. That's why I was so confused earlier when I read it, because I'm like, well, why the fuck? What am I going to notice?
If you worked in a large office a cubicle farm and there was that one temp that nobody really trusts, like, that's where I feel like, in my expert opinion, your greatest danger would be. Right. But,
or someone who lurks around Starbucks or places where they're going to get free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But if you work from home and you're not afraid of your mom figuring this out, I feel
I'm good.
I feel like you're going to be okay.
Yeah. I'm real good.
You have no idea how good I am. I'm good.
You have no idea. Yeah. Well, all right.
Good. So now she should have a second story, right?
You're welcome.
Didn't I? No, I did it.
No, okay.
We did. All right, they're going to move on to the next thing.
All right.
Al Pickens teaser.
So we've had nominations from the Grammys. We're just going to go over a few of them because I haven't had time to check out the whole list. And there's way too many nominations of that fucking thing. I have a show that somebody has to explain to me.
I'll be happy to.
Yep. The National Board of Review has released its list of the best movies. I have a couple of obsessions that I have caught. And I think that's it. Oh, and an update on a scandal.
Not a scandal from Studio C, but we'll find out more about it in just a minute. It's Q Talk America.